Welcome to the Round 18 Supercoach Coach Podcast, or the Grand Final Podcast. Gee, that's crept up really quickly with the compressed rounds. I'm Marcus, and I'm joined with three guests this week, so big show. FB Donkey, welcome back to the show first up.
G'day, mate. Pumped to be here in a bunch of Supercoach Grand Finals. Supercoach is good.
Yep. You have chosen the nickname Top Dog on entering this week's room.
Well, in saying that, I didn't realize Faz was going to be on the show.
All right. That's the spoiler. Faz, welcome back.
G'day, everyone. Happy to be back. Not sure I'm sharing Mark's enthusiasm that the rank's looking all right, but there's a risk that CJ's going to catch me. So I'm happy that we can talk while I'm still in front of him in rankings, and we'll just never mention what happens in the final round if he does happen to catch me.
And Dunny, we've got you back on the show as well. Welcome.
Thanks, mate. Great to be back. And is it Supercoach 2021 yet? Because this season finished like ages ago.
Yeah, well, the two of us are looking forward to finals, Dunny, and we might be playing each other in week one. So
that's right.
We've got things to look forward to, even though we're the lowly ranked super coaches of the four. We'll have to take consolation with that. Why don't we whip around and we'll start with you, Mark, how you went for the week.
Scored 24-33. My ranking jumped up to just outside the top 1,000, so 1,045. I haven't been inside the top 1,000 yet this year, so it'll be nice to get there in the last round if possible. Trent Rivers is a lot to do with why I'm there. He scored 107, kicking the winning goal, and that meant that I benched Doherty, and that just worked an absolute treat. There was still a bit of stress through the round with Nick Haynes not doing as well as I would have liked, and like Paddy Dangerfield and Lockie Neal, like 55. Luckily, I brought Gorn in, so I didn't have the captain on Neal. And Josh Kennedy probably gets a bit of a rap from me, 127. Didn't pay much for him, so that was very helpful.
Nice. Big week, Mark. How about you, Faz? How'd you go?
As I might have mentioned in the intro there, it was a shocker for me this week, 21-48. So I almost managed to beat that the previous week with my best 18 side. Just seemed to everything that could go wrong did go wrong this week. So that's all my ranking slip from 159 the week before down to 333 this week. I'm just probably praying for a bit of carnage with that deep bench. Got one trade left as well. So if all the teams can do some resting this week, I can bring Rivers and Schoenberg and those fellas onto the field and finally get the benefit of that deep bench.
Nearly got Faz, but he's beaten me by 18. I finished with 21-30. But, my bench, I think this is the first time all year I've had two guys in my defensive bench actually play, and they were Rivers with 107 and Scholl with 110. And I had obviously couldn't get either of them on the field, which was really frustrating, along with Schoenberg's 97 staring at me on the midfield bench as well. So that did not go down well, and hence my score was pretty ordinary this week. Overall, been a bit of an ordinary year after having a good few weeks. This week didn't pan out that way. Marcus, what about you?
I scored 22-52, which was just enough to keep me moving up for my, I think, 15th now consecutive week of forward momentum. Woohoo! I went from 6,522 to 6,507. Yes. I am actually really, really happy about that. But the score certainly could have been better. I think I stuffed up my trading by not moving Draper before the first game of the round. That trapped Bailey Williams in my back bench. I was supposed to move Williams into the rucks and move Rivers into the back bench, and that would have given me cover for Doherty and Williams and allowed me to trade more aggressively. But I didn't, and so I did the opposite of what Mark managed, unfortunately. That would have been probably quite good to finish off the week if I managed to dodge that 13. But alas, two trades left for the last round is good news. I should be able to bring in like Gorn and Luke Ryan, for example, this week. So should at least finish on a high.
All right, let's make the top 5,000, mate.
I know you're being a bit facetious there, but I'm looking forward to that, hopefully. Our leagues are going okay as well. I know it hasn't been the most glorious year, but I think we had a particularly good week with the Supercoach coach Aces scoring, you know, about 1,000 to 2,000 points more than the leagues around them, and a lot of the other Supercoach coach leagues taking a similar path. So I think we're about 10 of the top 50 leagues in about a quarter of the top 100. Just something to reflect on. I think we normally have smashing league domination, but it's still pretty good effort in a pretty tough year.
Give us another 5 weeks and we might take number one.
Yeah, that's it. We're too invested in the long haul, apparently. On a quick update for our Supercoach Coach Patreon group, the winner of that, of course, winning $250 at the end of the year. That lead at the moment is still Nick's team, Sky Valley, who responded to us on Twitter, and which was nice to see. He heard himself take the mantle on the show last week. He's still up top at 124th with a score of 23.42. I think there are six more teams sitting between 200 and 300. So a lot of tight competition there, and almost anything could still happen with one round to go. I think the difference between first and seventh is about 200 points. So it will be an interesting last round.
And shout out to General Zornis, who's been around the Twitter community and supporter of the community for quite a few years. And it's great to see one of those boys have a shot at the number one ranking. He's currently sitting number one. So I'll be barracking for him, and good luck, mate.
Definitely good shout out. All righty. We will jump to some questions then. And really only got a couple of main topics to go through, and then maybe just some quick reflections to finish up for the year. And a captain's corner, of course, because that's going to be important with grand final. I know a lot of people are wanting some left field picks. So get your brain ticking over if you haven't already. We'll start off with a question from John Piranha asking about best replacement for Doherty. John's asking about Shannon Hearns quite specifically as well. Is he worth it if you only have not a lot of cash in bank? Playing North Melbourne this week, so that's pretty good.
Hearn worries me a bit. I'm not a big fan of him. He can have a great score, but he can also put in a stinker. And with the Eagles likely to dominate that game, you'd think there's probably not going to be a lot of footy coming down in his direction this week. So I'd probably steer clear of him.
Similar to Dunny there, I don't like Hearn as a pick with the variance that he's been putting up. Realise that if you have no cash, there are pretty limited options available, but I'd be looking elsewhere.
Only three scores over 100 for the year, but McGovern out. I wonder how that affects him and whether that potentially gives a bigger role to him this week. Yeah, it's a no from me as well, but there is, depending on your assessment of the McGovern replacement role.
Next question is from Jeff, and he's asking about Dan Houston, another reasonably priced option. Jeff only has 18K in bank. What do you reckon about him instead, Mark? Does that tickle your fancy a little bit more? Good score last week.
Good score against the Bombers, which doesn't really say very much. I think I'd defer to Dunny on that one.
Yeah, I don't mind Houston as a pick. He has been playing a little bit better role lately, but Tom Cleary is out this week, so I just wonder whether that's going to require him to go back and play a bit more of a defensive role than what he would have otherwise had. So it just depends on who they bring in, which they haven't said who that'll be yet. But a bit like Hearn, though, he can be hot and cold, so just be a bit wary of him.
Yeah, we've got another question about a cheap player. So it seems like a lot of people maybe use all their cash and they only have last trade and chump change for injury side swaps. So an interesting question from Aralis Maximus around Doherty to Cade Simpson. So picking a bloke up in his retirement game, reckons they'll try and find plenty of opportunity to give him the pill. 392K.
Actually, don't mind it. I picked him up in draft about 4 or 5 weeks ago, and he's been pretty good since then, 80, 82, 103, and 93. I just think that at this stage in the career, I'm not sure that there's that upside game. I think he's probably pretty good for an 80 to 90. That's a very, very, very risky pick. It's a bit of a Hail Mary pick, I think, and I actually like the other boys ahead of him.
How about you, Faz? Would you dare to go there?
I think it's a sentimental pick if you're out of contention on everything and you'd like to have one last run with Cade Simpson in the team, go for it. But, yeah, I think there's better options, as Mark said. I don't think he has the upside there.
Next one is from @Trouder87 asking about Steve May. So now a little bit more expensive. A bit of a reflection on just the form that he's been in recently. He did have a 58 against Frio in round 16. But the five games around that, all 100 plus, including a 149 in round 14 against St Kilda. So certainly has some upside potential, which I know, Mark, you were talking about there. Dunny, would you be tempted by Stephen May at 500?
If that was all I could afford, I could be tempted by him. I think I agree. I think he's had a pretty good role lately. Apart from that one game, he's played fairly well. And I guess if you just relate it back to Houston's 115 last week against Essendon, with May playing Essendon this week, you could hope that he could pick up a score like Houston did against the Bombers. But I guess we should ask the Bombers fans.
Well, I guess the concern is that the ball might not be down that end very much.
That is also true.
They're going to want to send Woosher off with a bang, right? You're loving that.
I think with a bang, he might get shot in the back.
All right. Well, those were some of the guys that we had thrown up by the community. Might just take the chance to whip around and ask who you're thinking about as a replacement for Doherty. Mark? Put you on the spot first.
Sure. So I think that if I had to go below Doherty's price, that I would be looking at Daniel Rich. He's had 300s in a row. Does have a little bit of upside there potentially. Really, really cheaply priced because of injury a bit before that. I think that there are other players around the May price that I'd probably go for. Personally, I have a little bit of cash and I have the Maynard versus Saad dilemma to choose from, so I'd love it if you guys could give an opinion on that. I'm probably leaning towards Maynard at the moment, but they play Port. Saad play Melbourne. I don't know. Fritsch played a tagging role in Haynes on the weekend and was quite successful, and he's done that a few times lately, and I just don't know whether he potentially goes to Ridley or potentially goes to Saad, which would be bad. So probably leaning towards Maynard even in the more difficult game at the moment. And a smoky is Bashahuli, who has posted two pretty crap scores the last 2 weeks, right? But his first game back, he posted a huge game, 147. Yeah, he's a bit of a smoky with a big, big upside.
I like Saad over Maynard, I think. Just the consistency, I think. Yeah, I've really liked Saad's season. Plus, didn't Maynard break his hand after he punched the ground during last week's game?
After kick that ball out on the full.
Twice or something. He had a couple of shockers. He probably would have scored 120 without those.
I'd go with Maynard over Saad. I think he has the higher upside. Saad's been pretty consistent all year. Seems to be, in between that 90 and 110. You can pretty much put your money on that. Whereas Maynard has shown the ability to get up into the 130s and 140s. And it seems, even when he's looking quiet for portions of a game, he manages to work his way into things. So I think I'd go for the higher upside on Maynard.
Yeah, I think his downside's lower as well.
I think I'd probably go with Saad, to be honest. I think he's probably – I just like the security of that, as you said, Mark, 90 to 110 kind of range over Maynard. The other thing, I guess, with the Maynard pick is that game on the Monday night effectively won't have a lot of bearing on the finals, with both teams pretty much locked into either 1-2 or an elimination final. So that could end up being a reasonably bruise-free game, but who knows. On that one, but I think I'd go on the Saad side of this choice.
Oh, well, you guys have been bloody helpful, haven't you?
Well, I think, if it helps you make your choice, there's an anti-Essendon bias coming from Faz at the moment, maybe.
And me.
Oh, yes. Let's not open that can of worms.
How about you, Faz? Who are you thinking about for your Doherty replacement?
So I've managed to... I've got one trade left and a fair bit of cash left in bank. I've got 146,000. So that pretty much gives me the pick of anybody bar Jake Lloyd. So I will unfortunately go the whole season without Lloyd in my side, but that opens up Luke Ryan as an option. So I'm probably looking between Luke Ryan and Caleb Daniel at the moment and my two picks. Probably end up picking Luke Ryan, I'd say. He's just, had the better season than Caleb.
I'd go for Ryan as well. I think he's just going to have a easier game, I think, playing against the Dogs, who have a really good midfield but have a weaker forward line. So hopefully that means more incoming ball but sort of easier opponents to defend against. That's my theory, at least, with why I'm going with Ryan. I've got a similar situation. I've got heaps of cash, but potentially not Lloyd if I want Gorn. How about you, Dunny? Who are you looking at?
I'm probably looking at Zach Williams for my replacement at the moment, depending on how that goes. But what I'll be doing, first of all, is waiting and seeing what Rivers does as an emergency, because they play before the Blues do. And if Rivers comes up with the score like he did this week, I'll probably look to upgrade someone else or patch another hole, depending on what other team sheet issues come out, because there's no doubt there will be someone else dropped or missing that is going to affect my team. Rich and Williams are probably the two that I'd be looking at if I didn't have the cash to spend anywhere, which I don't.
Yeah, I agree with that, mate. They're the two I'd have at the top of my list.
I might just throw in a couple if you're looking for a smoky. Crisp has been in cracking form. I think he's averaging 132 across the last three, 110 from the last five. So he's a smoky to look at. Blitzarves against Sydney. He's basically been playing across the ground, so his disposal rate is right up there. Obviously available in the back line, but he seems pretty solid for 100 and can threaten a bit more, averaging 108 across the last five, which is really good, actually. So those would be a couple, and I don't think we've touched on him, but of course Luke McDonald is still absolutely smashing it. I think he had one poor game, but his five-round average is still 112, so don't forget about him as well. I think those are some maybe lesser lights, but I think also all have pretty decent chances of scoring all right on the weekend.
Yeah, I think interesting, Luke McDonald would have come higher in my thoughts if he didn't play the first game against West Coast. He's definitely looked great lately, and I really like Donnie's suggestion of letting one of your bench players play first if possible, and then if they do really well, then you just don't trade Doherty. And so that probably rules out Saad for me against Maynard. So that's some really good advice, Donnie.
All right. Why don't we go to the last question around Goldie? And this one's a bit more selfishly for myself, but we got a question from Joe Hansen on Facebook about it as well. He's got Goldie at R2. He's got two trades as well. He's wondering whether or not to swap him to Grundy or Nick Nat. Now, a big reason why I'm not exactly sure what to do is, yeah, obviously coming up against Nick Nat's not great. Goldstein's not been in fantastic form, mostly because North have also been smashed most games. But Goldstein actually scores all right against West Coast. So the last five games against them, his lowest score is 105. 128, 110, 105, 105, 132. And I was thinking, like, Goldstein covers the ground really well. Maybe even if he loses the ruck contests, he tends to get more cheap posies around the ground against Nick Nat. Yeah, I'm really not sure.
You've got to remember in there that he probably hasn't played Nick Nat in a lot of those games because Nick Nat had a couple of knees, so that might rule that out. And yeah, his form's been pretty poor sort of since Dorr came back into the side, or since they started playing that second ruck in Dorr's area. He just hasn't been able to produce at all, which, knowing the fact that you guys all have him, has been quite pleasurable.
I thought that was about to lead to some advice.
My advice is, Gorn is playing Essendon. You need to get Gorn into your team this week if you do not have him.
All right, awesome. Why don't we finish up with a captain's corner? Obviously, Mark, it's easier for you. So, Gorn into?
Gorn into Gorn is pretty much my plan. It's pretty much my plan every week. Just chuck it on Gorn and I won't need anything else. Seriously, I haven't really thought through the other options. I'd be a little bit worried about Neil copping a tag second week in a row, but then would Neil allow himself to be tagged 2 weeks in a row with a Brownlow on the line? Maybe not. And Fifey versus the Doggies would probably be my backup. So, sorry, that's not very helpful, but just Gorn.
Yeah, it sounds like you won't be getting Gorn, so...
Yeah, I can't see a way to get Gorn into the side. So it's going to be Skinner is probably my best bet as the non-playing player. The other one I've got is Bytel, but he plays Friday night, so that's not much help. So that means I need a captain option sort of before Saturday night. So looking at the options there, Gaff had a real pearler on the weekend. I could see if he can back that up again. Zach Merritt's been in some ripping form despite Essendon's slump. So those are probably the two of the only real candidates I'm seeing there, or Rory Laird.
Zach's been super consistent and posted a few big scores in there that you'd be more than happy with to have as your captain. So for me, it'd be him. If you had a good backup option, Rory Laird's not a bad one because he did have that 180 a few weeks ago and does seem to be playing more midfield and getting plenty of the ball. So I actually don't think Merritt or Laird are bad options, and I'd take Merritt out of the two.
Yeah, it'll force me to watch the game as well. So maybe I'll go for Zachy.
I'm pretty much going to end up on the Gorn train. So Gorn into probably Bont. Bont's just been in absolutely amazing form, averaging 145 across the last five rounds. Definitely look to him if you've got him. A few people are asking about Smokies. Yes, Merritt's actually a good one, especially if people would consider him a Smoky. I agree with the comments. I think he's actually been in great form, especially in the 120-130 bracket. Travis Boak and Jack Steele are probably two obvious ones, and Matt Crouch as well. I think Port Adelaide against Collingwood, you can have a bit more confidence in round 18 than maybe earlier on. I think their midfield brigade don't look like they're coming together very well the late part of the season. So even though, yeah, Collingwood have a strong midfielder, don't mind that. GWS obviously got a broken team, so Steele against them's all right. And Richmond, obviously, from a midfield opposition scoring point of view, they don't tend to restrict the heat because they don't tend to score a heap of points. So Crouch is pretty good as well. Jared Lyons is also in fantastic form, 128 across his last three, and they're coming up against Carlton. So you could look to him as well. Nobody called out Josh Kelly, I noticed, after his 140 on the weekend.
And the commentators were saying he actually looked a lot better, and I've got to agree with them that he was moving across the ground better and seemed to really benefit from those 2 weeks off. Maybe he was carrying some sort of leg injury earlier in the year or a bit of fatigue from all the close games together. But he definitely looked better on the weekend. So, yeah, he does definitely have that very high upside.
All right. Now, that wraps up season 2020. We'll do a season review for our patrons at some stage. But being the last round, not 100%, we'll get to a patron bonus this week, but maybe thinking we might just whip around for some final thoughts to wrap up the season, any reflections, any quick lessons, recognizing that, yeah, it's a bit hard. It's weird trying to take lessons in for such a weird season. I almost feel like next year will be an interesting game of trying to figure out where we get the edges from the scoring pattern changing back to normal. I might throw to you first, Mark. Any general thoughts or comments or learnings to close out season 2020?
So a shout out to Connor Buderick for getting injured. He's going to be my captain this week, backing up Gorn, so well done to him. Don't follow the advice of Marcus on Geelong players. Mitch Duncan has been a massive, massive letdown since I brought him in. Apparently he's a good kick of the footy, but geez, I've seen him miss some easy targets this year. If we tell you next year to pick one of the gun up-and-coming mids because they're available as a forward, do it. Andy Brayshaw and Petrarca absolutely smashed it again this year. Simpkin can probably get into the same category. And I think it's going to be really, really tricky going into next year because Gorn will be worth an absolute fortune. Neil will be worth a fortune. Lloyd will be worth a fortune. And you're probably not going to be able to have all three of them. So you'll probably be looking at a way to target them later, or I guess most people will start with Gorn. So, yeah, I think that there's going to be some overpriced players going into next year, and it's going to make picking teams very, very tricky. And there's going to be some overpriced rookies as well. Like, there's none of these second-year rookies that haven't had a game going into next year because everyone's played this year. So that's going to make it extra tricky. So, yeah, come back in the preseason. There's going to be lots to talk about.
Thanks for a great season, Mark. Throw to you now, Faz.
Yeah, I guess starting with a non-super coach specific one, I guess I've learnt this year that there is such a thing as too much footy. Previous years, I wouldn't have thought that's the case, but turns out that having football on every single night of the week, and particularly when you know you're trying to manage a super coach team throughout that process, I'm looking forward to having my you know Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays back to myself in the future. And then onto super coach, I think it's certainly going to be a challenging one, as Mark mentioned, in terms of you know who we can actually afford to start next year, given the stellar years that some of the top crop have had. But I think that's one thing that I'll be maybe trying to focus on next year is, you know, we've always been, I think, proponents of the guns and rookies strategy. But even within that, I think trying to prioritize the absolute, you know, jet premiums is crucial. I've certainly found not having Jake Lloyd all year to be, you know, one thing that's really held my team back a bit. You know, when it's one of those guys that's just at the absolute top of their position, you lose out so much by not having them because even if you've got the second best defender, you're losing a fair chunk of points each week. And if it's a guy like Jake Lloyd, had similar discussions about Maxi Gawn throughout the year, that the scoring is so good that, you know, the price just stays up so high. While we might have a plan to bring them into the side in the future, it can just be so difficult to do that. Particularly this year, we had some limited cash generation from our rookies, but I think even in a normal season, it would have been hard to find a good trade to bring in Max Gawn, you know, without doing a sideways move. So, you know, it's something that we'll definitely discuss next year as to how we try and balance our money across the side and afford as many of those top line premiums as we can. But that's probably something that I'll try and carry into next year, as much as possible, try and get the cash invested in those top line guys. And I can probably also put a line through Patrick Dangerfield for the rest of his career. I don't think I'm going to go near him again. Not going to put that one all on you, Marcus, but I think my days with Danger are done.
Wait till he's available as a forward.
Yep, sucks straight back in.
Dunny, my throw to you, mate.
Thanks again for a great year, everyone. It's been a lot of fun. But, yeah, for me, probably the one thing that I picked up this year was I think I went too many value options at the start of the season. You know, I think probably looking back, a lot of them were value options because they had poor scoring last year. And we all thought, well, I thought that they would lift that up this year. And they just haven't gone to the level that I'd look for. And also trying to pick up more guys in teams that are going to win more games. I think that's probably hurt me a bit with a few of my players as well. And, yeah, Dangerfield, I agree with you, Faz. He's dead to me unless he's a forward. He's hurt me too much as well. But I think some of Faz's comments there sort of rang true to me, is looking for those top-line premiums and trying to get them in as early as you can. I've spent all year without Gawn and pretty much hated every minute of it, and only got Jake Lloyd in not too long ago as well. So, yeah, trying to get those guys in is harder than trying to start with them, I think. So that's what I'll be looking to do for next year.
All right. Well, thanks, everyone, for an amazing season to the three of you and your contributions throughout the year on behalf of the community. Thank you. And to our listeners, if you're still listening around 18 in a challenging year, thank you very much. We've had a lot of nice messages over the last 2 to 3 weeks as the season has drawn closer and closer to an end. And it's, yeah, really nice and comforting and all that good stuff to see that good messaging coming through. So thank you all for those of you who did reach out, for those of you who are listening. We hope you had a reasonably successful season with us, or at least had a bit of fun. And, you know, with that, we'll catch you all for pre-season 2021, where we'll try and do it all again.
Can I say one more thing? Massive raps and congratulations to Faz, who's had a career year. Definitely been fun to watch you dominate the ranks this year. So well done, mate, and I hope you've enjoyed the experience.
Thank you. Thank you, Mark. It has been a rare one, being up this high. And maybe I'll just jump in with one more before we go. A big thank you to you, Marcus, on behalf of the community. You know, you've been here every week. I know when I'm not on the show, I'm hanging out waiting for the podcast to come out so that I can get the advice. I know you do a ton of work, you know, on the show and behind the scenes as well. So I'm sure the community are very thankful for the work, but I just like to call it out here.
Awesome. Yeah. Cheers, Brian.
Yeah, I agree. Awesome.
And with that, you know, always like to leave on a high. We'll catch you next year. See ya.
See ya, everyone.